for some love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt, pain, and crying. When you practice what you preach, don't you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us.
Turn to your neighbor and say, where's the love?
Yeah, how many know that this series we did last week and we're going to do it again today is at the open chair. We are talking about the heartbeat of Destiny Church. It's why we do things the way we do it. Maybe some of you said, I've never seen church done this way, or I don't always understand why you're doing things a certain way. I think this series really helps put a better perspective, allows you to see. Some of you have heard this teaching before a couple years ago. And if you have, I hope that this becomes a renewing in your heart. Oh, yes, that's what we're about. This is why we're here. This is why we serve. This is why we give. This is what God is wanting us to do as an individual and as families. And then also, if you're new to Destiny, you never heard this series, it's going to make a lot of sense to you of, okay, this is why Destiny operates and functions the way that it does and ministers in the capacity in the way that it does. It really becomes the heartbeat and the DNA of our church as we talk about the open chair. Now, we see in Scripture where Jesus did so much work around the table, right? I mean, we come to the table every Sunday. And we learn to sit around the spiritual table, and we eat the spiritual food, and we're fed. We get spiritual nourishment, and it comes to us, and we drink from the spiritual cup. And it's good for us. It's what God wants us to do. But today, we've got to realize that the problem is this, that many of us, we come in week after week, and we sit around the Christian table, and the only people we're feeding is each other. Ooh, it's about to get good today. I hope you are ready. All people we're feeding is each other. You know, it's like my family sometimes will order Chinese food and everybody gets a different dish. And then we come in and I'm like, I'll trade you 3 of my orange chicken for 2 of your sweet and sour. Or I'll give you an egg roll for a wonton. You know, we're trading. I'll give you rice for noodles. And we're all sharing and we're all just feeding each other. But let me tell you this, the reason why we come to the table of the Lord to be fed, to be strengthened, to be nourished, is so that we get fed and nourished so we can get up and take it and give samples and give portions to other people who are not at the table. The open chair reminds us that we should always have a heart for the open chair. When you see an open chair next to you, or you see an open chair in your section, your mind should be thinking, who's not sitting here who needs to be here? What family member? It should bother you that people are going to hell. It should bother us. It should keep us awake at night. Well, me and my family, we're good. Yeah, but who are you taking with you? Why am I being fed? Am I being fed so I can give samples out to my family the rest of my life? Or am I called to get out and say, who can I bring with me? Jesus did so much work around the table. He refers to it often in Scripture. We see that he prepares a table before me in his presence. And we know that we're going to spend eternity. We're going to have some time around the Lamb's feast at the table with Jesus. It's going to be awesome. We also see that many times Jesus had table time with some of the outcasts of society. I mean, Jesus loved to do table time with prostitutes. He loved to do table time with tax collectors. People who were stealing, people who were the outcast of society. Jesus did table time with those kind of people. Oh, I could never do table time with those kind of people. Bless God. What are people going to say? What are people going to do? Hey, don't remember, you wasn't always at the table. And even when you were at the table, when you was younger, sometimes you didn't mean to be at the table. You were just forced to be at the table. And we got to remember, I know this, when Jesus was at the table with prostitutes, they came back and they served God with such passion, they gave everything they had to serve God. They broke open the most expensive perfume and worshiped him. And they said, man, I want to come and worship a man who's seen me for the person I am, not what society says I am. I want to come and worship a man when everybody else wanted to stone me and kill me. He said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. Remember Zacchaeus? He came down from the tree, and Jesus went to his house for lunch. And when they left that meeting, we don't know what all happened, but he said, I'll pay back everybody I've ever done wrong. I mean, he did a 180 right away. I mean, when Jesus sat at the table, the people, their lives were changed. And every week we come in, our lives should be getting changed. We should be growing as we eat at the Lord's table. We should be experiencing growth at the Lord's table. How many are here today and say, when I came to the table of the Lord, it changed my life? Anybody want to raise your hand and say, that was me? When I ate at the Lord's table, it changed my life. Then why wouldn't we want to bring other people to experience this kind of change? It should bother me when the chair is empty. It should bother me when I know there's people who need to be sitting there. And have I invited them? Have I invited them to have a meal and to join me for lunch? And have I invited them to have a Bible study in my home? I saw this week where some of our members, after last week's sermon, said, man, we're doing a Bible study this week. Join us for a meal. And they were opening up their home, asking people just to come, who don't even go to church here, to come and join them. I said, yes, God, they're doing ministry around the table. And then ultimately we're trying to get them to the table of the Lord, the corporate table, where they can come and join forces with the body of Christ. Look what Jesus had to say. It's our text. We read it last week. Let's read it again this week. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the carbs, man. I am the spiritual carbs. Carbs are not bad if they're clean, right? Clean carbs are good for you. Jesus said, I am the good carbs. I'm the bread of life. He says, whoever comes to me, they'll never be hungry. Whoever drinks from my cup, they will never be thirsty. Have you ever ate a meal and you're hungry 30 minutes later, you're still hungry? Because you were eating the wrong thing? It tasted good at the time, but it was empty because it wasn't the right nourishment you needed. You ever drink something, you're still thirsty? Because you're drinking the wrong thing, right? You're drinking that soda instead of drinking the water to quench your thirst. It's the same thing. We try to quench our thirst. We try to fill our stomach spiritually with things, and we're still hungry. And Jesus said, listen, that's going to happen. That's not till you sit down and eat clean. Sit down and eat from his table that you're going to be filled. We sit down. So we should have excitement about bringing people to the table. It should be what drives us here at Destiny, that we want to bring people to the table of Jesus. We want to bring people to the feet of Jesus. We want to bring people. We want to see the open chair filled. It should keep us awake at night praying, God, who can I bring? God, who can I influence? God, what can I do to serve? What can I do to help fill the open chair? It should drive us as a church. See, we must be chair aware. It really must drive us. The open chair should really be something that really drives us every single week. We remember the open chair. Now, we're called to be spiritually mature, and spiritually mature people understand how to be good hosts. And we spent last week talking about what that looks like as a host and what we're called to do. That we're trying to be a good host for the open chair. Spiritually mature people, they understand that ultimately everything I do is about hosting in people to sit at the open chair. I want to be a good host. I want to make sure things are taken care of. I want to make sure the house is clean. I want to make sure the meal is prepped. I want to make sure the background music is just perfect. I want to make sure the lighting and candles are just right. I want to make sure kids are taken care of. I want to make sure people can park in a good way. I want to make sure all these things. Why? Because we're a good host. That's what spiritually mature people do. They keep the open chair in mind. They're thinking about the open chair. They put guests above themselves. Do you hear me? Spiritually mature people put guests above themselves. Look at this definition of spiritual mature. Spiritual maturity is about learning to feed yourself and about surrendering your chair to Jesus. Spiritual maturity is when not only do I eat from the Lord's table, but I learn to feed myself from the Lord's table. And then I get up and say, Jesus, you can have my chair. What do you mean by that? That means that I say, Jesus, whatever you need me to do, that's the chair I want to fill. If I need to be a part of the clean team, I'll do it. If I need to volunteer with the children, I'll do it. If I need to volunteer to help out and be lead a group, I need to open my home. If I need to get someone a ride, if I need to help out, different things. Whatever it is, God, I want to do that. I want to surrender all of my life to Jesus. And so spiritually mature people realize I feed myself and I surrender my chair to Jesus. Whatever he asks me to do, I say yes to that. We should learn how to eat and feed ourselves every day. How do you know if you're walking in spiritual maturity? Look at this. I gave you something really easy to look at. This is how you know if you're walking as a mature Christian. Mature Christians, they share Jesus with others. They share, right? Mature people share. Not mine. Mine. Mature people don't take all the food for themselves and give the guests the leftovers. Mature people learn how to share. And we share with Jesus, with others. We learn to serve the body of Christ, surrendering my chair to Jesus. And then we give of our time. We sow our time, our talents, and our treasure into the kingdom of God. That's spiritual maturity. That's learning to walk in spiritual maturity. We eat from the table. We get served our food, right? So we come in every week. We get served our food. And we eat from the table. And then what is our role? Mature people come in, get served. And then they leave filled. And then they walk out to serve others. Are you following it? I get served from the Lord's table so that I can be full of the Holy Spirit, full of God pouring into me, pouring into my spirit, so that I can get up from the table now and I can serve. And I serve others. Let's quit serving samples to each other and let's get out into the stream where people are passing by who do not know who Jesus is, do not know the importance of a relationship with Jesus. I'm called to go and to serve those people. I'm called to make sure when they come in, man, the open chair is a priority for them. They know it. I'm here. Yeah, I've been coming to this church for 5 years. I've been coming to this church for 10 years. I've been coming to this church for 2 years. But you know what? Every time someone new walks in, how can I serve you? We should be the best Chick-fil-A of churches in all of Joplin. I'm telling you right now, we should be hustling. We should be going out, letting people know that they are welcome here. We are doing it, and we're going out and serving people. It's the DNA of who we are that we show this. You know, mature people, spiritually mature people, they stay planted around the table. And what I mean by that is this. They get out and they serve, but they always come back and refill back up. You know, it's a trend in society. You know, probably 20 years ago, churches would be full of people. 80% of the church was really your core. 80%, they came every single week, man, unless they were on vacation or sick. Man, they were at church, 80% of the people. And then you had about 20% who were in and out. Now we see that trend happening about half. About half of your church is the core people who are going to be here unless they're on vacation or they're out of town, you know, for the family thing. They're going to be here. They're going to be here. And the other half, they come in and go. And some of you are like, man, I picked a good day to be here. So I feel really good. You know, but the other half, they're going to miss. They're going to come once every 4 weeks. They're going to come once every 6 weeks. They'll come Easter. They'll come Christmas. They'll come Father's Day, Mother's Day. And maybe they'll get an extra day in if they're really good about themselves. You know, but you can't grow if you're only eating 4, 5, 6 times a year. You're not growing. You're going to be spiritually now malnourished. You're going to be spiritually dehydrated. You're going to find yourself passing out when the heat gets turned on. You're going to find yourself not having enough energy because you haven't been sitting from the Lord's table. So I encourage you. I know it's hard this day because society does not respect any day of the week, especially the Lord's Day. It used to be they respect the Lord's Day, but now there's stuff going 24/7. If your kid's playing in a tournament, it's on a Sunday. If they're playing, it's going to happen on Wednesday. It's happened, all this stuff. And we're talking about it so much. You know, Pastor Jeff, what we've been talking about, we're moving the DCY to Sunday nights coming soon because we're just trying to pick a night when the kids have a better chance of being there because on Wednesday nights they're practicing all their practices. I'm just saying it's just a trend we're seeing. So I tell you, as you grow in spiritual maturity, you make sure, all right, listen, I want you to go on vacation, and I know sometimes you're sick and sometimes you just need a break and get out of town, your anniversary and all. You do it with our blessing. And sometimes you can't help it. Your kid's got a game that day and you got to be there, or a concert, school. I understand that, okay? I've got five kids. Been there, done that. I understand. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But what I'm saying is this. We got to make sure that we do the best of our ability to make sure we stay plugged in as much as possible, right? We stay planted. You say amen. He's talking to all of us. Okay. I just encourage you today to do that. Let's talk about the chairs today, can we? Let's talk about all the chairs at the table. Let's talk about chair number one. And chair number one becomes the open chair. We spent most of our time last week talking about the open chair. The open chair is people who are seeking and haven't yet made a decision to follow Christ. They're people who maybe they're going through a difficult season in their life and they're saying, you know what? Oh, man, I just need something different. And I'm looking. Or maybe they're your coworker or your family member and they say, you know what? I've seen something different in your marriage lately. I've seen something different in your life lately. I see something different happening. I need something different. Or they come in and say, you know what? I see a new passion. You're always on social media talking about how great your church is. And you're always talking about, come and check it out. Come and find it out. So they're coming. They're checking you out. And they're coming. They haven't made a decision to follow Christ yet. And they're sitting in this chair. And all they're doing is just seeking and saying, is this for me? Is this something I want to do? Is this something that really can relate to my life? Or is it just religion that's going through the motion? Or is there really something to this? I think there is. That's why they're coming. And they want to test the waters. And they're kind of looking. And so they're watching us. They're watching us. They're watching to see, are you really that happy when you come here? Or are you just doing that on social media? Are you really that excited when I come in? Are you really going to smile at me when I come in? You're going to sit there with your arms folded and frown the whole time. Come on now. Are you really going to be excited about Jesus? Or, you know, are you really going to shake my hand? Are you really glad I'm here? Are you really willing to give me your chair? Are you really willing me to sit by you even if I don't know you? I mean, people are coming in. They're testing us out. It's up to us to say, you know what? We want to welcome you from the parking lot to the lobby, to the coffee shop, to your kids, to your teenagers, to coming in the church. We want to strategize, think, well, is the music going to touch your heart? Are you going to understand what we're teaching? Are we speaking in a way that you can comprehend? Or are we up here using King James that are foreign to them? Are we up here trying to speak spiritual TBN to them? And they have no idea what we're talking about, you know? Are we up here using language they don't understand? Or are we really putting a thought process through? God, help us how to teach the gospel in a way that they can understand, they can apply it to their life, and they can comprehend it. So we put a lot of thought process into how we deliver the gospel, how we set up our lighting, our background music, our facilities, our color schemes, everything we do has the open chair in mind. And that person's okay. They're welcome here. And if we're doing church right, we'll always have people coming in the church who are sitting in the open chair and they have not made a decision to follow Christ yet. They're just checking us out. And we'll always have this as the forefront. Yes, we're looking because many of you came here through the open chair. You came here in the open chair and you came to this church first, just checking it out. And when you sat in that open chair, the Holy Spirit reached out and grabbed a hold of your life and has changed you ever since. I'm telling you, the open chair is important. Then we have the second chair, chair number two. The chair number two is for the new Christians, people who have been born again, adopted to God's family. They've gone from the open chair to making a decision and saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he is the Messiah, God's only son. And I want to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Yes, I accept him. And they move from the open chair. Now they sit in the new Christian's chair. Now, if you prayed that prayer in the open chair and you never come back, you're missing it, okay? God didn't design for you to go from the open chair to never coming back to the house of the Lord. He's always designed that we sit around the Lord's table together, that we assemble ourselves together, that we work together, that we commune together, that we fellowship together, that we worship together, that we cry together, that we pray together, that we celebrate together. He's called us to do that. So you leave from the open chair to accept Jesus, you come and sit at the table. And it's a place where new Christians come. But let's be honest. As soon as you come to the first chair, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan is going to do everything he can to attack your mind, to discourage you. He's going to come to you and be like, listen, you prayed that prayer Sunday, but you really didn't mean it. He talks about God's love, God's blood, God's grace, but that's for everybody else. You are not worthy of that. No, no, no. You've blown it too much. You did this to your family. You did this, and you made this mistake, and nobody really wants you there, and you didn't really mean it. You were just caught up in emotion, and Satan's going to attack your mind. And so what happens is we got to help protect the young ones. We got to help encourage the young ones. We got to come along beside them and say, man, it was good to see you. Sit by me next week. Keep coming with me. Go out there with me after church. Let's do this. We got to come and protect them and say, you know what? You're not going to have it all together the first week. You're not going to have it all together the first month or the first year. I still stumble. You're going to stumble and Satan's going to attack you. But listen, the reason why he's attacking you is because he's afraid of who God's turning you into. And so you point it out and say, listen, it's okay. All right. And we come along beside our new Christians and we protect them. It's up to us to protect them and encourage them. You know, about 3 years ago, I went to the Big 12 tournament. I took my two youngest kids at the time, Hallie and Hayden. We went to the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, bought tickets for that day. And we know we're big OU fans at our house. So we were watching OU. They were playing Ryan, Iowa State that game. And I didn't realize when I got there that bought tickets and we were sitting right smack dab in the middle of the Iowa State section. And we had our OU gear on. And if you know my family, we're not quiet at games. We loud and we proud and we go there. Now, all you Rock Chalk Jayhawk fan people, you know, I know. Ooh, basketball is everything for you. You got it. But every once in a while, we win a game. And we like to get loud. And so we were there, and we were cheering our team on. And we were there for the game. And as soon as the game starts, there's this ref who makes a good call for our team and a bad call for the other team. Either way you want to look at it, we liked the call. But the guy behind me who'd been drinking just a little bit, he didn't like the call. And he started yelling at the ref like the ref can hear him from up in the bleachers, seen away, that far up. And he's yelling at him. He's using language that, man, wasn't very good language. So I turned around and looked at him and kind of gave him this dad stare, like, you know, listen, dude. He kind of quieted down a little bit. And as the game went on, he got louder and louder, and he starts using language that would make a sailor blush. And then he starts using language, and he's putting words together that I had never heard put together before. And I hear a lot. I live with Melody Beebe. I hear a lot of things. It takes a lot to shock me. But man, they were saying language that even I haven't heard before. And my blood starts boiling. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in Kansas City. There ain't nobody here knows I'm a pastor. So I'm thinking, you know, someone is going to tell this guy to be quiet. I don't want to get in a fight with all these Iowa State fans here. But my blood starts boiling. I start getting mad. And he starts using this language. And finally, he says some words that were so, it was so bad to be saying in front of any girl, more or less to be saying at all, but especially in front of a lady or in front of a young child girl. And I turned around and I put my finger in his face and said, buddy, you say that again. If I hear anything like that coming out of your mouth in front of my daughter again, I'm going to take my fist and I'm going to cram it down your throat. He sat down, and all the Iowa State fans turned around and gave me a standing ovation right then. Why? Because I'm protective of my kids. See, we got to have that same tenacity. We should have that same tenacity and passion that we protect the young ones. When they come in and they sit in this chair, they go from the secret chair to the new Christian's chair. Buddy, you better not mess with one of my kids. Well, they call themselves a Christian, but you know what they're still doing? Or you know what they're doing? I saw them doing this, and I heard they were doing this, and they posted this on social media, and they did this and that. I'm like, but listen, don't do that. Don't mess with my kids. If I catch you messing with one of our spiritual kids, man, I will kick you in your spiritual teeth. I'm telling you. Don't mess. We should all have that attitude. We should be protecting our spiritual kids. I saw this week a story where my twin brother, Mario Lopez, where's he at? Okay, bring him up here. Mario Lopez. Where's Zach when you need him? Okay, all right. He made a statement on social media, and he says, Mario Lopez says, he made a statement saying, I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, that's an awesome thing. He made a statement this year, you know, and I was, first of all, my first thought was, after I seen where he made that statement, I thought, is he really, so I guess he's not saved by the bell anymore? Some of you will get that tomorrow, okay. But after I thought that, I was watching some of his videos, and he posted some pictures and some videos from him. He actually took a trip to Holy Land because he just wanted to walk and trace Jesus' steps. And he was kind of doing a video diary while he was there, talking about how awesome this was. And he posted a picture from the Wailing Wall there where he was there praying, and posted a picture there. Then he also posted a video of him getting baptized in the Jordan River where he was baptized where Jesus was. And you could tell it was really moving him. And he was like, this is so exciting. This is so great. I was just baptized where Jesus was. I was just tracing his steps, and you could tell it really meant something to him. And I was reading the comments, you know, on social media after that was posted or somebody shares it. And I was just so saddened by the comments there, because you want to know who was attacking Mario Lopez? It wasn't people who didn't go to church. It was Christians that were attacking him. Well, he needs to get his theology right. He does this role. He works on the entertainment industry doing this, and he works with this star, and he's on this show, and he does this, and he does that, and he's done this, and I've seen him do this and that. I've seen him post this and that. And Christians were tearing him down on social media. I'm like, give me a break. I mean, can you imagine if he is sincere about this, the kind of people that he can reach that you and I would never have a chance to reach? I mean, can you imagine what he's already doing by just saying, I decided to follow Jesus Christ? Let's stop trying to treat him like a baby Christian, and we expect him to be a mature Christian already. We expect him to be a mature Christian already, and he just made, like a week ago, made a decision to follow Jesus. And that's what's sad thing about it is. So at Destiny Church, we have decided that the DNA of who we are not going to attack our baby Christians. We're going to leave a place for the open chair, and when they make a decision to follow Jesus, we're going to love, support, teach, encourage, correct if necessary, but with love, and we're going to accept them, and we're going to encourage them to keep going. You know what? I always expect, I'm never shocked, when my children don't act like adults. It doesn't shock me. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I get mad about it. But it really doesn't shock me when my children and even teenagers don't act like adults. Why? Because they're kids. They're growing. They're going to make mistakes. We made them. You made them. So why do we expect baby Christians all of a sudden that they got to walk and act like a mature Christian? It doesn't happen, okay? We've got to be patient. We got to be understanding. We got to be encouraging. We got to be supporting and promoting spiritual growth in their life. And when they blow it and when they mess up, we're there to pick them up and say, keep going. It's all right. It's all right. We love you. Let's go do this thing together. Let's don't tear them down. Let's don't pick at them. How many say, Pastor, I will carry that DNA with me right now in my heart? Anybody say that to me? We're not going to do that. Come on, that's enough people. You better raise your hand right now. I'm telling you. Protect our kids. Protect our young ones. We've got to do what it takes to protect them. How do we do that? Number three, we go to the next chair, which becomes the mature Christian. Mature Christians. Look at this. Mature believers, they are spiritual parents to new believers. You graduate from this chair and you move into a role of maturity. And now, as you mature, you're helping fill and serve the open chair, and you're helping parent and encourage the newcomers, the new believers, the baby Christians. You're spiritual parents to them. You're helping them when they're struggling in their marriage. You're like, hey, just come and go with us. We'll talk you through how we got through our hard times in marriage. Hey, I'm struggling with getting my family faithful to church. Hey, I understand. Let me tell you how we got our family over that hump and how we did it. I'm struggling with a mistake. I remember when we made mistakes. Let me tell you how we did this. Stay plugged in. We encourage them. We parent them. See, we need, look at this statement. We need to stop expecting non-Christians to act like Christians. We're good at that, right? We expect everybody else to act like even non-Christians to act like Christians. And we need the Christians to stop acting like non-Christians. We've got to quit expecting people who aren't Christians to carry our values, to act the way we want them to act. And then us who have become spiritually mature, we need to quit acting like the open chair. We should be some growth in our life. There should be change in our life. So, spiritual maturity. We're learning to grow. Look what Hebrews 6:1 says. It becomes the heart of what Jesus wants us to do here in the New Testament. Therefore, let us move beyond the open chair. Move beyond the open chair from the elementary teachings, the first chair about Christ, and be taken forward to maturity. God expects us to grow. If my children aren't growing, if they're not maturing, if they're in high school or junior high and they still act like they're in preschool or their body's not growing, something is wrong. We're going to call the doctor. We're going to call the counselor. We're going to find out what's going on. What's wrong with my child? What's wrong? There must be something wrong because it's not normal. They should be growing. God expects us to grow. He expects us to grow in our maturity in Him. He expects us to sit at the table, to be fed, to grow, to go out and to serve others and give it away. And then ultimately, He expects us to learn how to feed ourselves. He expects us how to feed ourselves. And we learn how to feed ourselves. It's something that's great, you know, that we learn to mature. We love it when we see things. And, you know, one of the things that I love is this, is that, you know, I love people who go from the open chair to this chair right here. I mean, it's such a great thing. It's what we do. If people come into the open chair and they make decisions to follow Jesus. That's an awesome thing. That's why we do everything we do, because we want to see people sit in this chair right here. But the problem sometimes, many times that we often have, is that we've had too many people, too many Christians that have been sitting in this chair for year after year, for decade after decade. We sit in this beginner's chair and we never advance from here. But then I've also seen just the opposite. I love it. I love it. We got people in this church, they walked in the open chair. They made a decision to accept Christ and they sat in the new Christian's chair. And they haven't been coming 1, 2, 3 years. And they're already sitting in the spiritual maturity chair because they've learned what it is to trust the Lord, to surrender their life to Jesus, and to serve others. And they've got a heart to serve. They got a heart to give. They got a heart to surrender. And they're already maturing. So there's not a time frame on this. Are you understanding me? It doesn't have to be 10 years for maturity. But in 10 years, there should be some maturity. Are you following me? Let's don't get stuck here. Let's don't get stuck here. We should be moving to maturity. Ultimately, this is our goal, maturing in God. We've got to learn to feed ourselves. Mature people learn to feed themselves. See, we will always have an open chair for the person who's seeking. We'll always have a chair for the new Christian. We'll always have a chair for the spiritually mature who have a vision to reach those people and to parent them. And then we also have a chair for people who have been hurt. And sometimes you've been in those chairs already, but you go through seasons when you've been hurt. Maybe you were hurt at the past church you was at, or maybe you went through a painful divorce, or you went through a season when, man, your family was crushed, or whatever it was. We have seasons when we have to sit in the chair of healing. And we got to sit and allow ourselves to regain our strength again. Regain our spiritual health again. There's nothing wrong with sitting in this chair when you need it. There's nothing wrong with taking a time out and saying, you know what? I've got to get spiritually healthy again. I mean, the church should be a spiritual hospital, right? We should be a spiritual hospital where people coming in and they can get healed. The broken can get healed and we can speak hope again, strength again. People who are spiritually dehydrated are coming in, getting hydrated with the cup of the Lord. We always have a place for those people as well. But ultimately, we want to see them healed so they can move back into this chair of being spiritually mature where they can help others who are going through the same thing. So we have that chair. So we have all the chairs here at the table. But we have one chair. One chair that we haven't put out yet. And this chair, I can just tell you right now, this chair will never be here at Destiny other than for this message. We have the chair, the open chair, the new Christian's chair, the mature chair, the chair for those that are hurting. And we'll always have a chair. Listen to me. We'll always have a chair for baby Christians. But we'll never have a chair for Christians who act like babies. Oh, my word. Did he really go there? I did. Can the ushers lock the doors, please? All right. We'll never have a chair for Christians who act like babies. You know what I'm talking about. They sit here and everything's about them. Feed me. Feed me. You're not giving me what I want. You're not singing my song. You're not preaching the series I want preached. You're not talking about the way I want to do it. You're not doing the altar call the way I think it should be done. You're not doing this the way we should be doing it. Everything's about me, me, me. And if you don't feed me, I'm leaving the church. If you don't do it my way, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Wah, wah, wah. You know how exhausting that is. I mean, early on, this was a big deal. You know, big deal as you're trying to plant a church, try to get the DNA of who you are. Every person, man, you're like, man, we got to have them, you know. And a lot of times they had deep pocketbooks. They were helping support the ministry of the church. But they're over here like, wah, wah, wah. And we had to make a decision. Are we always going to come running over here to get spiritual pacifiers to the Christian babies here, always trying to please them? And every time we take our attention on people who should be spiritually mature and have to give them a spiritual pacifier to quiet them down, we turn our back to the open chair and we tell our community to go to hell. It should be about the open chair and that we're growing and maturing. Let's don't allow ourselves. Come on now. We probably all been here at one point or another, at least thought about it. We still allow ourselves to be here. I thank God we don't have, they don't last here very long when they come in. They realize right away we're not going to give them a spiritual pacifier and they kind of leave kind of fast. But it's the DNA of who we are. We want mature people who are remembering all about the open chair. They remember that it's all about bringing people in to know Jesus. It's all about that. And we're going to go from helping people find Jesus, coming in, to sitting in the chair, and we're looking for those people as well, that we can encourage, we can parent, we can support, we can love, we can help heal, and then we want to expect them to grow. Why? So they can turn around and do the same thing. They're serving. They're parenting. They're helping people grow. They're reaching out to the person who's needing help, who's hurting. This is the heartbeat of who we are. This is what God's called us to be. I told you last week, our target audience is not trying. We're not trying to take people from other churches to fill our church. That happens. People make changes, and people are welcome from other churches when they're ready to make a change. And the same thing, vice versa. We have people who leave here and go to other churches. That happens, okay? I know that. But what we're looking for is this, is that our target is not trying to target people from other churches. Our target is people who aren't going to church anywhere. And so when we have people who come from other churches here, we want them to have that same DNA. Yes, we're coming to Destiny because Destiny believes in reaching the next generation. Destiny believes in reaching out to the generation that's lost. They believe in reaching out and showing people that Jesus loves them and they'll go the extra mile. to put extra thought and prayer and preparation. I mean, this week, I'm to tell you, we're going to have so much happening. Get you ready, all for the open chair. I mean, our design team's going to rebuild this whole set in here. It's going to be really cool. Our lighting team's going to be working. Our decorations team, our cleaning team. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of work. Our welcoming team, we're going to have a new, brand new welcoming center out front. We're going to be having cookies next week for people coming in early. You better get early. Free cookies next week. I mean, we're going to go out of our way to make sure people are having the best experience when they walk in as possible. We need you here, smiling, greeting. I need you here a little bit early, okay? Come in a little bit early so we're not all scrambling for seats at the last minute on Easter, okay? Help us get in. If you see, if we're out of chairs and you see a guest come in, give them your chair and you can stand up. It's all right, I promise you. I'm telling you, Pastor Tom, he'll take you to lunch if you do that. I'm telling you, he'll do that, okay? I'll reimburse you, Pastor Tom, just playing, okay? But all I'm saying is it takes all of us together. We're going to have these passed out today when we leave. Let's make sure we pass out all the invites we can. Let's give as many personal invitations. How many say, Pastor, I'm believing for the biggest harvest of any Easter we've ever had here at Destiny. Do you believe that? Are you going to be praying for that? Stand on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, I want to belong to a church like that. I want to be a part of the church who keeps the harvest at the forefront. I want to be a part of that DNA. Raise your hand. That's me. That's my heart. I'm praying to God, lest that burn deep in me. I want the open chair to burn deep in my heart. It should bother us. It should motivate us. It should get us ready to reach this next generation. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. Man, it's going to be great. It's going to be great, but we got to do it together, guys. We need your help. Working together to pull off something as big as we're going to pull off next week and every week. We need your help. Let's be Team Destiny. Let's work together to be a part of the main body of Christ in this area. Let's reach people for Jesus. Let's close with this song. Let's make it personal. Come on. Resurrection is here. Let's go.
Oh, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes. Resurrecting me, in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King.
Let's lift our hands. I want to pray for you today before we leave. Father, I thank you that God, you're placing in the heart of this church a desire to reach people for Jesus, that will put others above ourselves, that we'll learn to serve, we'll learn to feed ourselves, and we'll learn to mature and grow and help other people do the same thing. May we fall in love with God more and more each day. May we learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, and may we turn around and teach other people how to do the same thing. May it be the DNA, the heart of who we are. God, I believe you're raising up a church who's not afraid to get dirty for you, who's not afraid to get messy, who's not afraid to take risk for you to reach the lost. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes. Lord of the harvest, send a harvest from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. We say, Father, send a harvest. God, that people would come in and find that you love them so much this Resurrection Sunday. May we partner with you. And we say together, amen, amen. If you believe that, put your hands together one more time. Give him a praise. Now, before you leave, let me remind you of this. If you want to sign up for the marriage retreat, please, please do that before you leave today. It's going to be an awesome week next week, okay? If you want to help clean, let Pastor Mike here in the front row. You want to be part of that clean team on Thursday at 6 o'clock. God bless you.